The last election was simple. You had the choice of the Constitution or the criminal. And for some reason, they took the criminal. So they shouldn't be surprised at what they're getting. He's a convicted sex offender. He don't pay taxes. What, you know, he's a draft dodger, wouldn't serve his country, and yet he stands out there and preaches patriotism to us?
Yes. Yes, he does. Governor Jesse Ventura.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, and Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us. And, Will, I don't know if there's any way to get any more sound into my ears here. Perhaps? No? Yes? No? Maybe? Nope. All right. Well, we'll just wing it and hope for the best. At least I'm going out to everybody, I assume, right?
As far as we know.
Oh, hi, Desi Doyen.
Hi.
All right. So after a we'll settle with that. After a week of pounding and unrelenting and even record downpours out here in Southern California, well, the sun is finally out again. The birds are chirping. Spring feels like it's just about to be here. Not so, unfortunately, for our friends up in the Northeast today, where they are getting slammed by a nor'easter. Bringing more than 20 inches of snow in some places. In some other places, more than 3 feet of snow, as I'm reading it now. All but shutting down places like New York City and flights to and from it and to more Northeast cities and states. Several states in all directions, in fact, at this point. Both storms, of course. The one out here last week, the one in the east today, while not caused by climate change per se, were certainly made worse by it, according to scientists, both from the same long-term climate trends that are now making West Coast rainstorms wetter, as many of us out here can attest to in recent years, at least when the rain comes at all. And making East Coast storms way more intense, as we have seen through a number of storms over the past decade or more, as the jet stream patterns become more and more erratic just about everywhere across the globe. Desi Doyen, you were telling me on the way over here that this, the intensity of this weather in the Northeast on Monday If this was in a tropical zone, it would actually have caused a hurricane?
Yes, it would basically be the equivalent of a Category 2 hurricane. And that's because it's not in a tropical zone, therefore it's in the considered an extratropical zone. Therefore, it's just a, sort of a snowicane instead of a regular hurricane, but it has with it all of the high winds and all of the extremely intense precipitation. And in some cases, record. Providence, Rhode Island got a record. And also coastal storm surge, causing damage there as well.
Well, welcome to your climate changed world, as we like to say around here, set to get even more changed, likely even quicker now, thanks to a series of recent actions by the fossil fuel funded Trump administration doing the bidding of the industry, and at this point gutting pretty much every regulation that we've had in place for the last 20 years meant to at least try and mitigate or slow some of the worst and most deadly effects of our quickly worsening climate crisis. Just over a week ago, when Donald Trump announced what effectively amounted to ending 20 years of regulations to reduce deadly man-made greenhouse emissions in hopes of keeping people safer and healthier and slowing the worsening of our climate crisis, Trump claimed that the end of the pollution-preventing regulations would actually save Americans a lot of money. There's that. $1.3 trillion, he says. Where there are fears, they shouldn't worry about it. And the costs for whatever is going on, we're going to save more money, so we'll all be just fine. A reporter asked him about that very question, and here was both the question and the answer.
What do you tell Americans who are concerned that the $1.3 trillion in savings does come at a cost to public health and the environment based on science?
I tell them, don't worry about it, because it has nothing to do with public health. This was all a scam, a giant scam. This was a ripoff of the country by Obama and Biden, and let's say Obama started it and got it rolling, and a terrible ripoff. They'll have more money to spend for health care, if you look at it. Now they can go out and spend it on something that's meaningful.
Yeah, so there you go. Don't worry about it. It's just, you were getting ripped off. Now you're going to have more money for your health care. If it makes you sicker, if your child has more life-threatening asthma attacks, well, you've just got more money for her health care in your pocket. So don't worry.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll have more money in your pocket so you can pay for you and your child to have more asthma attacks, to die early from, oh, wait, you can't pay to die early. You can't do anything about dying early from pollution, from air pollution and heart disease.
The costs of shutdowns to businesses and air travel and everything else, by the way, that also comes with increasingly intensified fires and floods and storms like we're seeing on Monday in the Northeast. Well, he didn't have much to say about that during his announcement, calling, by the way, for more coal to be burned everywhere. In fact, he mandated the Pentagon to burn more coal. By way of fairness and equal time, however, which we consider important, let Brendan Carr know about that at the FCC. I will just note that California Governor Gavin Newsom, speaking the next day at the Munich Security Conference just after Trump's anti-science, civilization-threatening executive actions, he gave his own thoughts on the matter as the governor of a state which has seen more than our fair share of devastating, deadly, climate-fueled nightmares in recent years.
You may not believe in science, but you got to believe your own eyes. I mean, people are burning up, choking up, heating up. We have simultaneous droughts and floods, historic wildfires. You know maybe little about California. You've seen those images of these wildfires. Talk about being as dumb as we want to be. Places, lifestyles, tradition being wiped off the map. Greenville, you know, paradise, California. And so this issue has been brought home in a very personal way, not a political way. And Senator Whitehouse is here. He's also someone that deeply understands that climate risk is financial risk. It's becoming uninsurable. This is an economic issue, not just a moral issue. It's not just a competitiveness issue. And so it's incredibly important that we talk in those terms to address some of the political dynamics. But it's, again, something we're on the other side in California. It's a big blue state. but also has more Republicans than most Republican states. And we have long moved beyond the partisanship on this issue because there is no Republican thermometer. There's no Democratic thermometer. There's just reality. And people in my state have been mugged by reality. Those that have been in denial understand that we're on the other side of the debate.
Mugged by reality. Yes, we have, in fact, been. But anyway, hopefully this week's record blizzard on the East Coast makes it a good day to curl up and listen to the radio, presuming you folks still have power and heat amid the storm out there with widespread life-threatening power outages reported. But again, don't worry. Nothing to worry about, says the President of the United States. I'm assuming you have more money in your pocket now for your health care or for your funeral. Take your pick. So all is well. More on this week's Nor'easter, I suspect, on our Green News Report with Desi Doyen on tomorrow's broadcast, no doubt.
Yep.
It has been several weeks since we've been able to open up the phones to listeners in our, once again, live sunny California, Southern California listening area, or folks listening live anywhere across the globe via our kpfk.org live web stream. Our phone number today will, as always, be 818-985-5735 if you'd like to ring in on any particular story that I hope to get to today. Or any other that you think we should be covering, 818-985-KPFK. I will note that you do need to hit button number one in order to join me on the air. Oh, that's better, Will. Thank you. Or even better, since we are in the middle of our winter 2016 fun drive here at my flagship station in L.A., KPFK. You can hit button number two when you call in to make a donation of any size you can afford to help us stay on your public airwaves and to help contribute and continue to produce this program for distribution around the country and the world. That's what your support at KPFK does. If you're listening later on one of our many excellent affiliate stations, please consider supporting that station as well, as most of our affiliates are non-commercial, public, and community stations that, like KPFK, desperately need your support to continue serving the public over our public airwaves. If you're listening via podcast or any other way, of course, you can also go to kpfk.org. Excuse me, org. You can make your donation there and you can pick out one of our many fantastic thank you gifts in return. No matter how you do it. And please tell them that you're a broadcast listener and that I sent you. Thank you. Opening up our phone lines to listeners, of course, is also helping to serve our public interest obligations over the public airwaves, which, as listeners know, I take very seriously. And to that end, on Friday, Donald Trump's chairman of the Federal Communications Commission offered a tip on how broadcast stations, presumably like ours, might help to better serve those public interest obligations, as he described them in a press release in which he noted that the FCC was urging broadcasters to join a, quote, Pledge America campaign. That Carr, Trump's FCC chair, has established to support President Trump's, quote, Salute to America 250 project. Says Carr in the release, quote, I am inviting broadcasters to pledge to air programming in their local markets in support of this historic national nonpartisan celebration, he said, asking broadcast media outlets to, quote, air patriotic pro-America programming in support of America's 250th birthday. That in advance of the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence on the upcoming July 4th holiday. Now, while I hope to talk more on the show later this week about Carr's very gentle request that broadcasters sign on to this loyalty pledge to Trump's FCC, I will note for now that his Friday press release calls for programming that promotes civic education. Okay, that's good. And our shared American history. Okay, that's good. Cool. We do that every day on the broadcast. With Carr going on to note, quote, this type of programming is more relevant than ever. as surveys show that civics education is in rapid decline, and classic programming such as Schoolhouse Rock is now only found online, said Brendan Carr. Great point, Mr. Carr. We should air more programming just like that, just like Schoolhouse Rock. So to ensure that we meet our public interest obligations today on our public airwaves, here's a short, very patriotic clip, just as he's asking for, this one from a classic Schoolhouse Rock program about the founding of our country.
They wanted no more mothering land. They knew the time had come for them to take command. It's very clear you're being unfair, King. No matter what you say, we won't obey. Gonna hold a revolution now, King, and we're gonna run it all away with no more king.
We're gonna elect a president.
No more king.
He's gonna do what the people want.
No more king.
We're gonna run things our way.
No more king.
Nobody's gonna tell us what to do.
Rocking and a rolling, swishing and a splashing over the horizon. What can it be? Looks like it's going to be a free country.
Wow, nice. No more kings. No more kings from Schoolhouse Rock. Great idea. Thank you for the suggestion, FCC Chair Brendan Carr, and you're welcome. We'll try to play that as often as we can. As noted, more on all of that on the broadcast later this week as it rolls on. Tuesday night, amid a partial government shutdown when Republicans and the Trump administration refuse to agree that our so-called free country should have no more secret police roaming the streets with masks and no badges, as Democrats have been insisting we change before they will agree to fund the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE, so that at least when ICE shoots and kills Americans in the streets in broad daylight, we'll be able to have at least some idea of who the murderers actually were. Amid all of that, on Tuesday night, Donald Trump will give his first official State of the Union address in his second term to a joint session of Congress, or whoever happens to show up for it. We will, of course, have full coverage of that as well. The following day, with our old friends Heather Digby Parton and Driftglass, I believe, will be joining us for our post SOTU coverage on Wednesday.
Yes, if all goes well. Yes.
Also, part of meeting our public service obligations over your public airwaves. So once again, you're welcome in advance for that one, Brendan Carr. So how do you think that is going to go this week? How's the State of the Union going to go for Donald Trump as his approval ratings are now at all-time lows, not just for him, but for low for compared to any president in American history, even compared to Donald Trump in his first term. Well, want to ring in with your thoughts on that? I'd love to hear them. I will be opening up the phones, as I noted shortly, 818-985-5735 if you want to line up right now. And in other news, which suggests Schoolhouse Rock may have actually had it wrong, that we actually do now have kings in this country after all, in the U.S., or at least one self-appointed king who thinks, and with good reason, that he's above the law, unlike the rest of us. Well, a federal judge on Monday permanently barred the release of special counsel Jack Smith's investigation into Donald Trump's unlawful theft of thousands of highly classified national security documents that he took when he was voted out of office the first time, that resulted in the charges once seen as the most perilous of the four different criminal felony cases that the disgraced president and 34-time convicted felon and adjudicated sex assaulter had faced before his second term. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, who was nominated to a lifetime position on the federal bench by Donald Trump, who is she is also, I should argue, now angling for a U.S. Supreme Court seat, likely to open up soon. Well, she granted a request from Donald Trump himself to keep under wraps the taxpayer-funded report on the taxpayer-funded criminal investigation, finding that, yes, Trump unlawfully stored sensitive documents at his Mar-a-Lago estate after he left the White House and refused repeated, very polite requests and threats of criminal indictment In refusing to return those documents to the federal government. Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team produced a two-volume report on the classified documents investigation and a separate probe into Trump's efforts to steal the 2020 presidential election from the American people. After he lost that one to Joe Biden, both investigations produced indictments that were ultimately abandoned by Smith's team after Trump's November 24 election win, in light of longstanding Justice Department legal opinions that say sitting presidents cannot face federal prosecution. A ridiculous opinion from the DOJ, by the way. And, of course, the more recent invention out of whole cloth by Donald Trump's corrupted Supreme Court that ginned up a so-called presidential immunity doctrine, which is found nowhere in the Constitution or the rule of law, stating the presidents are allowed to violate just about any criminal law they damned well please, and there is not a thing that anybody can do about it when he does so, that according to his corrupt Supreme Court. Take that, Schoolhouse Rock. No more kings? Well, no wonder they stopped making those things in the 1970s, I guess. Trump's corrupted Attorney General Pam Bondi had already determined that Jack Smith's report on Trump's crimes at Mar-a-Lago was, quote, privileged and confidential and should not be released outside the Justice Department, according to court papers. Sure. The corrupt Judge Cannon's order, however, blocking the release now also applies even to Attorney General Pam Bondi's successors at the Justice Department, just to make sure, or at least to try to make sure, that no one can ever see the taxpayer-funded details from the taxpayer-funded criminal investigation of one of the most heinous, outrageously, brazenly criminal acts ever known to have been carried out by a president of the United States. I'm sorry, ever known to have been alleged to have been carried out by a president of the United States. We spent years investigating this and writing up this report and indicting the man, which we had to dismiss, but now we're not even allowed to see what the basis was for that indictment.
And future AGs are also barred from releasing it, right? Did I understand that correctly?
You did understand that correctly, although there are a bunch of folks who feel otherwise about this.
Okay.
Chioma Chukwu, the executive director of American Oversight, one of the First Amendment groups and watchdog organizations pressing for the release of the report, he said it, quote, will continue using every tool available to force this information into the open and to defend the public's right to the truth through the release of this report. Scott Wilkins, senior counsel over at the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, said, quote, there is no legitimate basis for its continued suppression. He said Judge Cannon's decision to permanently block the release of this extraordinarily significant report is impossible to square with the First Amendment and the common law.
Wow. So it sure does seem like they're fighting so very, very, very hard
you
to
think?
Make sure
you
that
think?
This report never, ever sees the light of day.
Now,
I wonder why they would
why
do
would
such
they
a
do
thing?
That? Yes, exactly. Well, we will get to that momentarily here, I promise. The first volume of Smith's report on Trump, his attempt to steal the 2020 election, that was released last year for some reason, shortly before Trump returned to the White House. It's only the other one that was blocked for some reason. Jack Smith has defended his decision to bring the charges. He says he believes that they would, in fact, have resulted in a conviction in both cases had voters not elected Trump in 2024. Though Smith was barred by Judge Cannon himself. He was barred from discussing the stolen documents case. He can discuss the other one just fine, and he did recently in Congress in open testimony. But when it comes to those stolen documents, nope, he can't even discuss them. All of that, of course, important if only due to, well, one matter that we discussed a little bit on the broadcast late last week. Stick a pin in it for a moment because I'm going to circle back to that momentarily. In, yes, Related news, last week, British authorities arrested Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, the Andrew formerly known as Prince, for his involvement with Donald Trump's years-long best friend and child sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein. On Monday, British police arrested Peter Mandelson, a former UK ambassador to the United States, in a misconduct probe stemming from his ties to the late Epstein. Both Mandelson and the former Prince Andrew are suspected of improperly passing UK government information to the disgraced financier and pedophile. And the high-profile British arrests are some of the most dramatic fallout from the trove of more than 3 million pages so far of Epstein-related documents released last month by the U.S. Justice Department, which says there are no more documents to be released. We'll see about that in a moment. Mandelson served in senior government roles under previous Labour governments and was UK ambassador to Washington until Prime Minister Keir Starmer fired him last September after emails were published showing that he maintained a friendship with Trump's longtime friend Epstein, even after Epstein's 2008 conviction for sex offenses involving a minor. The files released in January contained even more explosive revelations about Mandelson's ties to Epstein, whom he once called, quote, my best pal. They were besties, just like Donald Trump and Epstein. But only the British ones, apparently, face any accountability for that. And they have an actual king over there. Got any thoughts on that? 818-985-5735. Messages suggest that Mandelson passed on sensitive government information to Epstein back in 2009 when Mandelson was a senior minister in the British government. The decision to appoint Mandelson to the high-profile job of U.S. ambassador nearly cost Prime Minister Keir Starmer his own job earlier this month, and it may again as questions swirl around his judgment in hiring Mandelson for the post in the first place, though he acknowledged that he made a mistake and he apologized to the victims of Epstein. Keir Starmer's position as Prime Minister remains precarious at this point. So what does all of that have to do with Donald Trump and those stolen documents of his at Mar-a-Lago? Well, last week, we reported on investigative journalist Roger Sullenberger's deep dive into the Epstein documents, and in this case specifically, what has not yet been released by the Trump Department of Justice, which is in strict violation of the Epstein Files Transparency Act. Among those still unreleased files, in fact, are several that Sullenberger has newly discovered by way of a document that refers to those documents, the ones that we haven't seen yet, as prepared. This document, this index pointing to these other documents, was prepared for Epstein co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell's trial. Well, the DOJ had removed from the internet that index file itself. I guess they realized, hey, this is pointing to documents that we should release, but we don't want to release. So we better take this first document down. Well, they took it down from the DOJ website, but Sullenberger, he noticed that it had been taken down, and he found a copy of it at the Internet Archives in the Wayback Machine to prove that it was there. But that document refers to four different interviews that the FBI carried out with a woman who has alleged that she was raped and beaten and that her life and that of her family was threatened by Donald Trump back in the 1980s when she was aged from about 13 years old to 15 years old. Now, this woman apparently sued Jeffrey Epstein, and the Epstein estate eventually settled with her, with this now woman, for an undisclosed amount. While we knew that the FBI interviewed her back in 2019, just before Epstein's death in prison, while he was awaiting trial on charges of sex trafficking minors, according to the woman's attorney at the time, she said she would only speak about Epstein for, quote, fear of retribution by Donald Trump. But what we did not know about all of this until Sullenberger found that sort of that index document that the DOJ had tried to hide is that not only was she interviewed once by the FBI, which I think we understood, but they seemingly found her allegations to be credible enough that they interviewed her three more times thereafter. And two of those interviews were just days before Epstein would be found dead in his jail cell. And three of those four interviews with the woman are also shown as having included separate FBI interviews, interview notes about those interviews. So all of those documents, all of them, should be part of the files that have been released to the public by the FBI and the DOJ, but none of those have. None of those interviews with this woman who says, who claims she was raped and abused by Donald Trump when she was 13 years old, none of those documents have been released, which is a strict violation of the law. So again, it's good to be king, isn't it? Now, as Sullenberger asked in one of his reports on this last week, quote, why didn't Trump's DOJ release all of the victims' FBI interviews? Why would the DOJ be fine with Ghislaine Maxwell's attorneys holding on to those records while apparently denying them to the American public in defiance of the law? The DOJ, he says, should release those interviews to the public, an act that would, coincidentally, considerably weaken the hand that we now know Ghislaine Maxwell perhaps uniquely holds over the President of the United States. So why aren't they releasing all those? Well, that question may answer itself, I suspect, but I welcome you to do so if you'd like via 818-985-KPFK if you want to ring in on any of this. But how does this tie to the Mar-a-Lago stolen documents? Well, as Sullenberger also reported last week, there is some remarkably coincidental timing regarding when the DOJ returned the stolen documents that were seized from Mar-a-Lago, when they returned those documents to Trump last year, about a month after he took office again. And yes, they actually returned those stolen documents to him once he had become president again. Now, it's unclear whether he accepted all of the documents back or not. But around the very same time, Attorney General Pam Bondi and Kash Patel said they had suddenly discovered several thousand documents that were related to the Epstein matter that they had not known about or had not cataloged previously, at a time when they were running through them furiously to find Donald Trump's name in them. And there is some question about whether any of the documents returned to Trump or stolen by Trump might have included, let's say, those FBI interviews with a woman who said that she was raped and beaten by Donald Trump when she was 13 years old. That might explain why Trump was so insisted, as you may recall, about not returning the stolen documents to the government back in after he left office back in 2021 and 2022. He was so insistent that despite being warned repeatedly by the DOJ at the time that he would be violating the law and could face jail time for it, he refused to give back those documents. Eventually, the FBI had to execute a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago in order to obtain those documents. And presumably Jack Smith, the special counsel who investigated all of this, presumably Jack Smith and his team saw everything that was in those documents. But they, including Jack Smith, have been barred from even discussing that probe by Trump's favorite judicial appointee, Eileen Cannon, who has stopped Smith or anybody from the investigation from being able to talk about it, has stopped the report from being released, a report that may, in fact, talk about what documents were being withheld by, were stolen and withheld at Mar-a-Lago by Donald Trump. And now that same judge, Judge Cannon, has attempted to bar anyone from ever seeing the report from Jack Smith's investigation into all of this for time immemorial. As I noted last week when I first reported on some of the details of these really lurid and disturbing allegations, they are still only allegations, though apparently they are credible enough allegations that the FBI interviewed the woman, a previously unknown, four times, and have been hiding the documents that they are required by law to release about those interviews ever since. And I also noted last week that I likely would not have been covering any of this were they not working so hard to prevent you from learning about them. Which, I will note, is why the public airwaves are still so important. And why I'm sure Trump's FCC chair Brendan Carr is delighted that I am using them to serve the public interest over those public airwaves today. You're welcome, Brendan. Y'all have any thoughts on this stuff today? Based on the phones flashing, it looks like you do. These are your public airwaves, too. As I've said for years, long before Trump, use them now before you lose them more than you already have. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Hit button number one to speak with us on air, or button number two to help KPFK help our airwaves stay in the public interest, not controlled by corporations with financial matters before Trump's FCC, even as, yes, we are clearly serving the public interest today. 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Your calls and maybe more news as time allows is next on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and the broadcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the broadcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
It's good to be king, just for a while, to be there in velvet, yeah, to give them a smile.
Yeah, it is good.
It's good to get high.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Well, it looks like a lot of you want to ring in on this for some reason. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Let's get right to you in that case. Let's go to David in Thousand Oaks. Hey, David, welcome to the broadcast, sir. What's on your mind today?
Thank you. I kind of lost my train of thought because I had this revelation. You just...
It's because I blew your mind. I understand, David. You were calling in about Schoolhouse Rock, Desi tells me on the collared screen. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there used to be a thing called PBS.
Yep.
And
still
and
is.
They
still
helped,
is.
Yeah. You've heard of them, possibly.
Yeah.
But they helped to fund it was Schoolhouse Rock, and I think it was kind of like it was a relative of Sesame Street. Anyway, they had a song about numbers and for kids learning how to do multiplication or what have you.
Okay.
Anyway, there's one in particular that I kind of liked, and I'd like to dedicate it to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's the episode that they called Zero is My Hero.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember that. He was like a superhero. Like with a zero on his chest.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a cape and everything. Actually, I'm too old for Sesame Street and all that jazz. But my kids liked it.
Yeah, I see it here, and actually, I don't know, Zero the Hero, I don't know if it was actually Schoolhouse Rock or not, but there is something called Zero the Hero, and I suppose if anybody is a zero and yet still somehow regarded as a hero these days, it would be Donald Trump. So we will look into that. Thank you for that suggestion, David. Much appreciated, sir.
Can I make one more comment?
Very quickly.
Real fast.
Yeah.
The money that I saved from the deregulation
and
the gutting of the EPA, I was able to buy a generator for the days when my power goes out during fire season.
Yeah. You'll need it, and a good truck, and keep plenty of gas in it so that you can get the hell away in a matter of seconds next time it's needed. Thanks, David. I appreciate the call, sir. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. And let me go to, by the way, there's a question. Is this your question, me, or a caller? Could a future president release the Jack Smith?
That was my question.
Oh, okay.
My question was, hey, so with the Eileen Cannon forbidding the release of the Jack Smith report, including to future AGs,
right.
Well, gosh, now that the U.S. Supreme Court right-wing supermajority gave future presidents and the current president immunity for presidential acts, well, gosh, maybe a future president could go ahead and just release that report.
Oh, yeah. Any future president can do anything they want, even as, you know, the Trump lawyers argued at the Supreme Court, they could send SEAL Team 6 out to assassinate their political foes, and there wouldn't be nothing you could do about it. It's completely lawful for a president to do that, according to this Supreme Court. So, yeah, this president could come in and say, look, here's the documents. Here's the Jack Smith report. I'm releasing it. I know the court said I couldn't, but I'm doing it anyway. Oh, well.
I wonder if that would be a good campaign thing for somebody running for president to say. I don't know.
I will release that. Yeah, well, sure. 818-985-KPFK. Let's go to Ken in Long Beach. Hey, Ken, welcome to your public airwaves. This is the broadcast. How may I serve you, sir?
You mentioned earlier that it's ironic that in England, when they actually have a king, that people are actually being brought to prosecution for their involvement in the debacle.
Yeah?
Nobody's answering for anything. Well, the difference is they have a king. We have a mob boss.
We have a mob boss instead of a king. There you go. Well put. It's really pathetic. I hate to say it, but you're absolutely right. It's embarrassing. 818-985-5735. Was it Julian Sanchez who said that, last week when they had taken in the former Prince Andrew, that we have less accountability than the royals do at this point?
Yes, pretty much everywhere in Europe there is accountability for top officials who had associations with Epstein. Now, there are a few people who are, what I guess you consider them, elites in the legal industry. There was one top person at one of the big law firms who she ended up resigning because of her interactions with Epstein after he was arrested.
Yeah, but the police have not been
convicted.
Knocking on her door.
No,
I mean,
she just resigned. That was it.
Yeah, Andrew was arrested. And this other guy today, the UK ambassador to the US, he was arrested. Where are those arrests in this country? I mean, if there was evidence that anybody involved with Jeffrey Epstein, any friend of his for a long or short time, may have raped and beaten and threatened the life and family of a 13-year-old, surely that would have been investigated. And if there were a law that said all of the related documents must be released to the public, surely we would see evidence of that investigation, of an allegation apparently credible enough that the FBI interviewed that woman 4 times. We would see that, right? 818-985-5735. Let's go to Dave in Venice. Where are all the ladies at, by the way? 818-985-KPFK. Hey, Dave, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you, Brad. But when I lose my train of thought, I go back to saying, appealing for everybody to please support the programs here, the programming on KPFK. We need your help, and everybody should pitch in to help them reach their goals. So please help.
Thank
you. If you got the money and if you like what you're hearing, these kind of discussions, then please help and donate.
Let me thank you for underscoring that point. And since the broadcast is syndicated around the country and the world to dozens of other stations, let me just underscore what Dave said. All of us, all of the stations essentially that are serving the public, that are community radio stations, public radio stations, we need your support. If you haven't figured out that this is not a drill by now, if you haven't seen what Brendan Carr of the FCC has been doing to CBS and to guys like Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert and the threats that he is making, if you have not seen that and understood what that means, let me make it clear to you. This is what it means. Stations like this one, other stations around the country who are supported by we the people need that support now more than ever. And I don't want to make this into a fun drive pitch. We do plenty of those, but I want people to understand this is not a drill. This is for real. Thank you, Dave, for underscoring that. But the real point you called in about was?
Okay, since all the files have not been released regarding the Jeffrey Epstein affair by the DOJ, we can actually speculate on all the things that could have been in those files.
Sure.
And one of the things that I've been noticing is that Trump owned the property, if you want to call it that, or the product of the Miss Teen USA.
Yes, that's right.
Pageant. And in the past, we've heard reports about him playfully going into the dressing rooms of the, these pageants were on, you know?
He bragged about it. He did it himself. He said that I would burst into the rooms. Yeah.
Yes, he did. And so we can... We need somebody out there, investigative reporter, to dig further and find out what went on there.
Yep. The digging shall continue, I suspect, but it is made hard and difficult by the fact that the most powerful man, not just in this country, but in the world, has some concerns here and has been given a... get out of jail free ticket for life, or at least while he's serving as president. Nonetheless, there are a lot of intrepid folks out there digging in to exactly that. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the call, sir. 818-985-5735. Let me go to Dion in Los Angeles. Hey, Dion, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh,
there you go. Hey, is this Dion?
Okay. Dion, yes. Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Who would have ever thought that in 2026 we would have guardians of the pedophile in and around the White House?
Yeah.
Whatever is done in the dark, as we've all been told, eventually comes to the light.
Does it?
It is. There's so much deep darkness, it appears, with so many countries that Jeffrey Epstein had ties with, and so much money. We recall Donald Trump sent $1 billion to Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep.
Wire transfers.
Well, actually, I don't know that. I believe you, but I don't know that he sent $1 billion to Jeffrey Epstein. I know other people did.
There were wire transfers. There were banking wire transfers.
Okay. I'm just saying I don't know about the ones regarding Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein for $1 billion. I'm unaware of those. So
there was a significant amount of money
that
was believed by another news media that was talked about.
Okay.
But what I'm mostly concerned about is we need to have the ACLU sue this judge who has essentially tried to cover up for life this information.
Yeah.
It needs to be adjudicated.
Well, and it is being adjudicated, as I understand it. That's what those First Amendment groups are doing, trying to sue to get those documents released. It sounds like Eileen Cannon has rejected that. It'll go up, I presume, to an appellate court thereafter. I suspect it will find its way up to the Supreme Court. How it does there on Donald Trump's corrupted Supreme Court is a matter we can only speculate about at this point. But yeah, I think this fight is going to continue. And it's really interesting that, you know, he can't be thrown in jail, presumably, for that anymore, because it was done in service of while he was president or something. He enjoys presidential immunity. And yet he sure is fighting tooth and nail not to have that information released, isn't he?
Well, tooth and nail is right. So we know something is there.
It does seem like it. Thank you, Dion. I really appreciate the call. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Bill in Santa Monica. Hey, Bill, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Brett. I just wondered, last week, did you know that he tried to do it in his first term, too? Lorian's first term, he flew into Baghdad. And last week, he said he wants to nominate himself for the Medal of Honor. He doesn't even know the correct name. He keeps calling it the Congressional Medal of Honor, but it's the Medal of Honor. And he starts out, and this is a quote, "I was very brave."
What was he brave for? Flying into Iraq?
That's what he said. That's not BS. They're not playing it much on the news, but yeah. You can find it online.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt. I mean, I don't know that he went there, but I have no doubt that if he did go in there, he would talk how brave it was of him to fly in the most protected airplane in the world with the best security team in the world 20 years after the war ended there. Other than that, sure, he's very brave. We'll nominate
and
him
the
for
thing
something.
Is, but first, he's calling it the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that you have to get that in combat. And they tried to give it to Harry Truman in the early 70s because of his service during World War One, and he turned it down and said, "I didn't deserve it." I mean, he was in combat. He was an artillery captain. But he turned it down, and he was much closer in combat than Captain Bonespurs. It's amazing to me that he... Something is really wrong with him.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say something is really wrong with him. Above and beyond him being a criminal and an adjudicated rapist and everything else, something is very wrong with that man. He's unbelievably twisted, and we're all sitting around saying, yeah, he's the president of the United States. Hello, what the hell is wrong with this country? What were we thinking when we elected him? What are we thinking when we sit around now and go, yeah, well, that's just Trump being Trump? No, that's a crazy man living in the White House doing crazy things, and he has a criminal background, and he has been given full immunity from law, and he's the most powerful man in the world. Brilliant. Brilliant. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that call, sir. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Peter in Santa Monica. Hey, Peter, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
You just got really out. I'm sorry. Hey, you know, I'm getting a lot of blowback online when I'm arguing with Bleeding Hearts. And lately, I've been getting that Trump is a pedophile. Is that true? Do you believe that?
Did you listen to any of the show so far today, sir?
No, I just tuned in,
okay.
And that's why I brought this up.
Well, then, we've been talking about it for an hour or so, but I will bring it down to 15 seconds to say there are apparently credible allegations, credible enough that the FBI interviewed this woman four different times, a woman who claims that she was raped and physically abused and threatened by Donald Trump when she was 13 years old. That's what I know. Those are allegations. They're allegations that the DOJ is under law mandated to release, but they haven't released it.
Okay, let me tell you. I heard that, and then I went to Google AI, which is very liberal slanted. It said Trump has never been convicted or proven to be a pedophile.
That's correct, sir.
Okay, so why are you bringing this up?
Well, even though I just summarized the entire last hour of the show in 15 seconds, now I'll do it in 7 seconds. The FBI interviewed a woman that claims that she was raped when she was 13 years old by Donald Trump, that those documents exist. Those documents must be released under the Epstein transparency law. The DOJ is refusing to release them. So I'm talking about these allegations, and that's all they are, is allegations. Because we are not allowed to see the FBI interviews and the FBI notes that go with them, even though it's a violation of law not to release that material. That's why we are talking about them. Is that clear, sir?
You forgot to mention that she tried to sue him in court, and then she backed out at the last minute.
Mm-hmm. When he was president,
yeah. You forgot to mention that.
Well, are you sure? You weren't listening for the last hour. Either way, I'm glad you mentioned it, sir. Other than that, everything we have reported has been 100% accurate. And though you're worried about what I'm saying on the air, if I were you, I'd be more worried about the possibility that there is a pedophile living in the White House. Hope that was clear, Peter. I got to go. Thanks for the call. And I got to get out here, don't I? Do I have time at least for Mo? I think I do. Let me get to Mo. Hey, Mo, give me your best 20 seconds, sir.
Let me tell everybody something. We are not going to go to war with Iran. That'll be suicidal. Trump knows Iranians aren't the perfect fishermen. Don't worry. He's not going to mess with them people because we can't afford to carry down their food. Who knows? There's no economy in the world that'll go for that.
Do we lose him there? All right. We got to get you a better phone, Mo, because I love to hear from your brother, but it's always so hard to understand you. I think he was basically saying, we are not going to go to war with Iran. If he's right about that, that is a great relief. I have no idea if he is right or if he is not right. Only time will tell. But it will tell, I suspect, in the next week or two. Thanks, Mo. He's usually right about stuff, so let's go with that for now. Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everyone else. Thanks to all the callers that I could not get to. My apologies. We'll try again next week, if time allows. Thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Will. Well done. And to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. You can drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, you'll find me at The Brad Blog. See you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
To the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.